Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to episode 66 of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Daydahl. Well, you guys know I love my spirituality and you know I love delving into speaking to mediums, anyone with a bit of clairvoyancy, anyone that has anything to do with the spiritual realm, I am such a fan of. So I was absolutely delighted to get my next guest on, Gráinne Tindall. I first met Gráinne, I've done a session with her a couple of months ago, and I was searching for answers, should we say. So who is Gráinne Tindall? Well, she is an international numerologist. She's a life skills consultant, a soul reader, an NLP practitioner, a spiritual healer, and a workshop facilitator. So you can imagine a wealth of experience. She's been working in this area for over 25 years. I came across her because of my love of astrology, my love of numerology, which I was starting to learn a little bit about, but I wanted to know more. And I figured the best way to find out more about it would be to do a session with her and see what she came back with. So in the podcast, Gráinne goes through exactly what numerology is and how you would get an understanding for it, how she would do a reading. But it's basically through your name and your date of birth and what comes back. It's all about your soul's purpose and your journey here and what you're here for. So everything that you know that I absolutely love. So it was an absolute pleasure to get her in. And she was fascinating. It was a fascinating chat that I know you guys are going to absolutely love. So without further ado, I will let you go and enjoy episode 66 of the First Exchange podcast with numerologist Gráinne Tindall. Gráinne, welcome to the studio.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so delighted for you to come in. For a bit of a backstory for the listeners, we done a session.
We did.
A numerology session a couple of weeks ago, and I was fascinated by it.
Great.
And I've been on my own journey of exploration, the spiritual realm, trying to understand some questions that I have within and understanding where I am, who I am, what's my purpose. And through that, I came across yourself and the work you're doing within numerology. So I said it to you on the session.
I said,
I have a podcast.
And I followed up.
And you need to come on. So we changed it a couple of dates here and there, but I'm delighted now we finally got you in.
Oh,
how's
great.
Things?
Things are really good. I'm very busy at the moment because I guess people are going through such massive change really in life, you know. I suppose these last 13, 14 months, I think, will go down in history as one of the most extraordinary times for us anyway, for our generations.
Yeah.
And for me, work-wise, and just supporting people, it's been really busy. So I'm really honoured and lucky to be able to do it.
Absolutely. So there'll be a lot of people listening who'll be like, numerology, what in the name of God is that?
Indeed.
How would you describe numerology and what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm an international numerologist and numerology, and I'm a soul seer as well. And so I very much work with people's souls to help them to discover and uncover what it is they're here to do and experience and to learn. So the soul is the real us. The soul is the part of us that is infinite. And it's not religious per se. It's more about, you know, the energy of who you are.
Yeah.
And so where numerology comes in, and numerology is actually a science of numbers, and it's been around for thousands of years. And it very much works with what I do because I use numerology as my cover to get through into helping people what their soul's journey is and what they're here to actually experience and do. So numerology, good old Pythagoras. Remember Pythagoras' theorem, the vein of my life. I hated maths in school. I hated them with the passion. And it's ironic that I'm a numerologist.
Yeah.
But I find numbers much more interesting as personalities and sort of more about energy as opposed to the mathematical equations.
Yeah.
So Pythagoras, he used it, in fact, for his schools of philosophy about 10,000 years ago. And it was all orally done. So he would pass it on. It was never written down. Mm-hmm. So it was passed down to generations, normally on the male side. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on and generations went on, it became more recognised. Yeah. And it was really in the last number of hundreds of years that it's really been recognised as something that is actual science.
Mm-hmm. That's... I kind of in this exploration myself and you know, looking at, you know, speaking to different people, whether different mediums of spirituality and different things over the last couple of years, I'm always, you know, when I'm telling people that maybe are a little bit skeptical of that, mm-hmm. I love anything that you can say it comes from a scientific background, because usually yeah. people who are skeptical, they're very pro science, and
yes.
the sort of the conversation of the spiritual world and or what's next or who we are and what our purpose is here is usually a very way out of that. And it's kind of with, you know, with astrology, and that's for a newspaper, and
yes.
you know, they don't really understand that there is actual mm-hmm. you know, everything's been sort of watered down, I suppose, when we look at astrology and stuff. But if you go back to the root of it,
yes,
you know, there is a lot there that is to be uncovered.
See, everything is one. Everything is connected.
Yeah.
You know, and when we recognise that, you know, that we are on this earth mm-hmm. at this time to experience what we're here to experience. And the more we get to know who we are,
yeah.
And the more information you have, as good old Shakespeare said, know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Very badly quoted, but anyway,
yeah.
in a Dublin accent. But the thing is, but I just believe that, you know, we are here to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you know who you are, and even for parents, for example, when a child is born, your date of birth is hugely significant, because that's the day you made your entrance into physical form,
yeah.
your soul, as is your name, as is the family into which you're born.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment you arrive in, you know, you're literally whisked off and you're weighed and you're measured and you're given a name.
Yeah.
And every single part of that has an energy attached to it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so interesting.
So what is the relevance to, we'll say, the name and the date of birth? Because I'm trying to get that, you know, understanding out to the people who are listening who maybe mm-hmm. don't understand it, and what that importance is, and how that your name, your date of birth, and when you do come into the world, how that affects you and your sort of life path, I suppose, or your life plan.
Absolutely. Well, anything I share is kind of, a lot of it is my belief. And I've been doing this for over 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been helping people figure out why they're here, and what's the right time to do things, and what's their soul's path.
Mm-hmm.
So when, before we come into the earthly form, I believe that we very much choose the family and the circumstances mm-hmm. into which we were born.
Yeah.
So we choose our parents, whether they're together or not, or whether we like them or loathe them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time in my generation, I've met a lot of people who had been adopted.
Yeah.
So that would make it a little bit more interesting, in that the people would have with birth parents who they may not know, plus they have parents that brought them up or other circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So from the moment the light hits the pituitary gland and you're in, right?
Yeah.
And the child screams, "I'm back."
Yeah.
So what happens is, you know, you come back in, and therefore I believe we've been here many, many,
yeah,
many, many times.
I was just about to get mental notes. So I'll ask you to go into that now after.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. And we could even talk about other planets if you wanted, but we'll stick with planet Earth anyway.
Yeah.
And it's a hard enough place to be at most times. But so when you come into the earthly form, therefore you are, your date of birth is mm-hmm. the day you came in. So I, as a numerologist, look at the date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
Each number has significance. So the day you're born, the month and the year,
mm-hmm.
and it's all added up. And then the name you're given, I'm always fascinated with names, because a lot of the time, I've done it myself with three of my children, you know, we tend to give a name of maybe a grandparent or
yeah.
So forth, great grandparent, mother or father. And what happens is the children actually take on the energy of that name. And mm-hmm. a lot of the time it's unfinished business.
Yes.
So a lot of my work at the moment, Lydia, is to do with family healing,
mm-hmm.
Family constellation, working at healing the generational, so that we can have a good time.
Mm-hmm. This is actually very a subject that I have spoken to. Actually, just at the weekend, I was speaking to a good friend of mine about her own work that she's done with healing generational trauma
mm-hmm.
on her mother's side, and, you know, know, the lady that she's been working with for years. And it's something that's so interesting to me because, you know, as children, you know, from my own experience, we don't necessarily always go to our parents and kind of say, so tell me about you and tell me about, you know, your experiences in life and, you know, what things that maybe have been traumatic for you. I know for myself, I've never had that conversation with my parents. And so we have this almost like the burden of the generational trauma that's carried down from generations and we may not be aware of it.
Yes.
And how do we find out what that trauma is and how do we heal from it?
Yes.
And it seems like such a vast and wide open space to kind of journey you're into. And, you know, if you don't have the knowledge or if you don't have the, what is it that we say, the spirit, you know, what's that quote, when the student is ready, the master will appear. You know, if you don't have the master, you don't have the guide in your life. And how do we get started on that journey?
Well, I remember years ago, someone saying to me these words, gee, you are you, guru. So it's very much about...
Oh, very good. Yeah.
And I just thought, so that means that very much we are our own gurus. And of course, teachers will appear and we're all teachers to each other. And I really believe that. Yeah. And of course, the ego can kick in and say, I'm the master of numerology.
Yeah.
I have lots of experience, but it doesn't mean I'm the master. I'm continuously learning and developing myself in order to be able to help people around the world.
Yeah.
But it's a very good question you're asking there, Lydia, because I see it all the time. And I, as a numerologist, we look for patterns in numbers. So when numbers are repeated, it means there's an extra sort of energy or vibration attached to it.
Yeah.
Which means that then that's something to look at and maybe to work with. And certainly for what I see with the names we say, we call our children, like a great aunt Matilda, you know, who could have ended up, you know, having a baby out of whatever wedlock back in the 1800s and was sent off to a psychiatric hospital, right, for example.
Yeah.
And her child taken from her. And the trauma of that can literally, if it hasn't been talked about, and a lot of it can be secrets, as we know here in good old Ireland.
Yeah.
And what happens is that reappears. It has to be healed, so it tends to repeat itself in future generations. So when we take accountability for the life that we are living, now we can't take on the burdens of the past, but we can acknowledge it and heal it.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so fascinating, you know?
Because it is very scary to think that you could be somewhere inside you carrying the trauma of something that your ancestors went through in the 1800s. I mean, that's a lot of trauma carrying down.
Every on a Friday,
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But are you able to explain how it unfolds or how it travels down? Is it that energy that's just kept from within and within the womb with the mother? Is that sort of where we're looking at?
It's fascinating because it's said that when, for example, I'll use my own story. My grandmother, her name was Koch or Kate. And when she was pregnant with my mother, now this is a long time ago, 90 something years ago, my mother at that time, when a daughter or a woman, a child, a baby, is 5 months gestation, all of her eggs are formed. So, and so therefore, technically, I was in my mother's womb, in my grandmother's womb 90 something years ago.
Wow.
So all of us were.
Yeah.
This is science.
Yeah.
Bruce Lipton talks about this.
Love him.
So therefore, yeah, he's fab. So therefore, even though the eggs were unfertilized, I was part per se, myself and my sister. So my grandmother went through a lot of trauma. She lost 5 children, adult children, you know, children between the age of 10 and 20.
Wow.
So she carried that. So when I was very young, I was very intuitive and very sensitive and could see things and hear things. But I had a terrible sense of loss around me. I could never figure out, even though I was happy per se, there was a grief that was, I couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
And it's only in recent years through my studies and all the things I've done, I realized I've been carrying my grandmother's trauma. Through this sense of grief. Now, I haven't been miserable all my life. Most people know I've been around and about all around the world, but there's been that deep sense. So that's just a sort of an example. Now, there could be much more serious things and there could be much lighter things, but ultimately, it's about breaking patterns. And when we acknowledge it and get some support, maybe with someone like myself or a therapist, you can therefore get help.
Yeah. And what would you say is the most common theme or thread that you see coming through to people who, you know, would it be a lot of people like me that are just inquisitive, that are just wanting, you know, I was kind of going to you looking for answers that I didn't think I had questions for, you know, I was just looking for anything, you know, give me any sort of information, and then, you know, just an inquisitiveness on it, and, you know, take information from it. So what would you see, what would be the most common complaint or query that you get through?
Well, it can be a variety of things. And I meet all ages, mm-hmm. you know, probably I meet sometimes parents bring children or, you know, this was before I was able to see people. I do everything on Zoom now anyway. Yeah. But it could be, you know, usually about relationships.
Yeah.
Now, not just necessarily romantic relationships. It can be how we relate, you know,
yeah.
you know, young people with their parents, or there could be husbands, wives, kids and their parents and so forth.
Yeah.
And also, I would find a lot of people are looking for their purpose in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, our purpose doesn't always mean it's our careers.
Mm.
Our purpose or our dharma is to be of service.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean servitude, though. Mm. It means service. So it's to leave a legacy.
Yes.
And not necessarily €1 million, which would be nice.
Yeah.
But it's more about leaving a legacy of remembrance, you know, someone and what they or she or he did. And it's really important that when you find that, when you recognize that you are here for a reason. And I always say this, by virtue of the fact that we're on the earth right now, we're worthy of being here.
Yes.
I believe we've all chosen to be through this whole experience and life, you know. And when our time is up, that's when we make our song.
Absolutely. And I always feel that, you know, and again, I will be careful with how I phrase this, because I'm not saying it would heal all of people's problems. But if people had a better understanding of that and felt more worthy of being here, maybe they wouldn't feel so many hardships, we'll say, with, you know, the things that come with not feeling worthy or not finding their place or knowing their place.
Yes.
You know, or not feeling like they belong to anything. Because
yes.
I think if you understand that the very fact that you're here means that you're here for a reason, and you've the capability to go on and do something great, no matter what it is.
Yes.
Then I think it would, you know, it would heal a lot of people and put them in the right direction, I suppose.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
I agree. And you know, I know the ego can kick in and say we have to be out there and become, you know, like X Factor, which is fine, by the way. But I love all that. But it's more about, you know, just being of service every day.
Yeah.
And there's a story I usually use. It always comes to mind. You know, Wayne Dyer. He was one of my.
No.
Oh, he's a. Well, he died a few years ago, but he was a wonderful sort of modern day philosopher, and I followed his work for years. Wayne Dyer, and he wrote some great books. He wrote hundreds of books, but he wrote really one. The one I like is There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem.
Wow.
And I quite like that. Now, he told a story where he had brought a team of people from America, all these rich Americans. He brought them to Assisi on a tour. And he was going around, you know, he said, prophesizing and telling them this, that and the other. He really tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
And they had to go to a bathroom at one point, and they were lining up to go to the bathroom. And there was an old man, and he was basically spraying people's hands and just putting his hand out for money. And Wayne went into the loo, and he thought about, he said, look at that fella. He started judging him, right?
Mm.
And then he heard this voice saying, oh, there you are now, Saint Wayne, you know, telling everyone how to live your life, and you won't even acknowledge a man in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was one of those light bulb moments. He went back out and he acknowledged the man, and he asked him his name, and he spoke to him, and he realized this man was trying to provide money for like 10 of his children.
Yeah.
And this was his purpose, his dharma. And that was something Wayne talked about. He said it was one of those moments, this humility of this man, and people were so dismissive. And it sort of really sat with me. It's many years ago. So that's why I feel to acknowledge everyone you meet on your journey.
Yeah.
Even if it's just somebody you're meeting on the street or so, you know, just acknowledge within reason.
Yeah.
And because that's really sometimes our purpose is just to acknowledge someone.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you talk about the purpose or the dharma in the context of, and you say, you know, it might not necessarily be your career, but should it? Should we be doing things that fall in line with their purpose or a dharma? Is that where true contentment is, or alignment?
That's a really good question. I believe it is. I believe when you're on you know, on track, you're on track, you yeah. know. And the more you look for the signs, the more you ask for signs. It's mm-hmm. it's one of those laws of the universe. Ask and you will receive.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes as human, we get caught up in the shoulda, woulda, couldas, you know.
Yes.
And, the signs are like, you know, helicopters and flags and everything. And we're yeah. just ignoring it, you know.
Yes.
So yeah. it's again, when you know yourself, when you get to know who you are. And by the way, it doesn't mean age is wisdom. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some of the wisest people and they could be children.
Yeah.
Because they have natural wisdom, you know. So I feel we do come in here again and again and again. And
yeah.
sometimes we bring our knowledge and wisdom, which means that as a younger child, you just seem to have the burden of the world on your shoulders, or you're completely free.
Yeah.
So there's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. It just is, you know.
So let's look at reincarnation for a second.
Mm.
If you were to put your beliefs into a box, how would it look? Do you believe that we're all, you explain to me what you think, where you think you are, because it's so multifaceted, isn't it? There's so many different versions of.
I know, I love it. Well, certainly from a numerology standpoint and a soul standpoint, because yeah. I work with the soul, we have been here countless times,
mm-hmm.
sometimes thousands of times. And what happens is, I believe, we tend to incarnate with the same people again and again, but we take different roles. So okay. it's a bit like a giant soap opera, right? And you're the lead actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's people who come in on the sides, your parents,
yeah.
and then brothers, sisters, if you have any. And then there's other people that come in. And then the soap opera begins, right, from the moment you yeah. come in. And a lot of the time it might seem that we're out of control of controlling it, but we're not. So therefore, we tend to come back again and again as male, as female. We maybe die young, die old. Now, I know this is a very controversial subject. This is just my personal yeah. belief. And I firmly believe that the soul, there's so much information the soul and lessons the soul needs to learn
mm-hmm.
that we have to come back again. You
yeah.
can't just do it in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people come in and I see it who have gifts, we say, for music
yeah.
and no member of their family can play music or even sing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even have an interest. And yet that music is just inherent in their soul
mm-hmm.
because that's coming from another experience.
Yeah.
Likewise, you know, we have karma and then there's dharma. So,
yeah.
But ultimately, I believe that, yes, we do have countless lifetimes. And that's where numerology can actually show you
yeah.
Based on the numbers as well.
Mm-hmm.
What your past lives possibly are. And a lot of the time when I do that, when I'm doing a session with someone, it makes sense to them because they mm-hmm. may have an interest in something or they might be the exact opposite of what's going on for them.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinating and I don't always meet Cleopatra or yeah. or people like that. I meet very normal people
yeah.
who are just, you know, just have a very normal lives,
mm-hmm.
you know. And like I've had mainly male lives. I'm definitely female in this one,
yeah.
but I've had a lot of male lives. And even as a child, I'm from Dublin originally. And I remember my father many years ago used to take us into the city and I used to point out houses and where people lived and, you know, things like shoe scrapers and even this beautiful building we're in. This was very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I remember I was only about 3 or 4 years old. My father used to look to me and say, "How do you know these things?"
Mm.
And I said, "I don't know. I just knew, you know." And so it was fascinating.
So what? Yeah, yeah. You work where you have a job order. Yeah. What age did you start to notice? You know, did you even notice you were different? You know, because obviously it's yourself. It's you probably grew up with these feelings and probably thought that maybe all kids had it. Or when did you start to feel or see things that you thought this is a little different?
Oh, yeah, I've always felt different. Yeah, definitely. I came from a very kind of bohemian family.
Yeah.
You know, my father and parents were musicians, like, and my father was a well-known musician and my mother was a musician. And they kind of had a bohemian lifestyle. It wasn't
yeah.
very religious, but my father was very spiritual. Like, he was big into yoga and chanting and all this. This is in
wow.
the 70s now, you know.
Amazing, yeah.
And Taran Yor wasn't what you normally see. But I kind of took that as being normal.
Yeah.
But I suppose for me, it was, I could see energy around people. I could see spirits. I knew when someone was lying. That was a big
wow.
one. And so when I went to school, I hated school with the passion. It's amazing. I mean, sort of real academic now, but I hated school.
Yeah.
And I could read the teachers. I knew what was going on. I could feel all the energy. I was so anxious. It was terrible. So I was seeing right until I was about 7 or 8, and then I kind of shut down.
Mm.
But I had this wonderful spirit guide. Until I was about 7. And he was this enormous man. Now, he was about 6-7 foot. He was this dark, dark skin, and he was always dressed in purple and gold. And I used to call him Mr. Sandyman. And he'd stand in my room. You know, my sister couldn't see him, but I could see him. And I never told anyone because I was always afraid he'd disappear.
Not really?
Yeah.
And did you feel that he was you felt safe in his company?
Yeah.
You didn't feel scared
yeah.
at all?
Because I hated school. So I used to come home and I'd be crying, whatever. And because it wasn't so much the work, I could do that.
Yeah.
It was what the atmosphere was like. It was horrendous.
The energy.
I had a horrendous school.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so therefore it was that sort of energy. And I'd go home and I'd see him and I'd feel safe. But then at around the age of 7 or 8, for whatever reason, I shut off.
Mm.
And I forgot. I forgot things. Until I was actually in my early 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, it came back. And it came back for me due to loss. And that's where that grief piece came in. You
right.
know, for my grandmother. Up to then, I had the greatest life. I went out gallivant and I lived everywhere and ended up in Canada and married my ex-husband now, but married my husband and
yeah.
we had a great life together. And then when I came back and I had my first child at 29, it was actually my second child at 31, 32, it all came back.
Wow.
And it just suddenly I started remembering
mm-hmm.
and remembering what I could see and hear. But I suppose my father, I was very close to my father. He got sick. And with cancer, and I'm the eldest, so I really took, and I came home from Canada, and I really took that role as being the carer.
Yeah.
And through him, and then I, you know, it was really through his loss that his subsequent death that everything just opened up.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes it is through loss that we gain.
Why do you think you had that cut off at 7 or 8, or the blockage? Was it just...
It was kind of due to experiences that went on
okay.
in my life, yeah,
right, okay.
which weren't very nice. So I, at that point, I just felt right. I remember just saying, I'm going to shut down.
Yeah.
Which ironically mm. would have been, if I'd able to keep, you know, open, it
mm.
probably would have saved me really in many ways.
Yeah.
But it took me for years to work through that. And then when I did, I was able to understand why.
Wow. And when you say you were able, it's very interesting, you say that you were able to tell when people were lying.
Oh, yeah.
What way does it show up for you? God, that would be a nice little...
You see
a nice little one to have, wouldn't it?
We can imagine as a child, like, you know, I'm watching these adults saying things and their auras are changing and I know they're lying.
Mm.
So it's auras, it's the energy.
Right.
Anyone can do this. I just happened to, in this lifetime, to decide to come out of the psychic closet
yeah.
and to do it. Now, it took me years, 30-something years to come out of it
yeah.
again. But anyone can do it. You can even look at a plant or an
mm.
animal. Watch the energy. Look, energy firstly will go, it'll be white around a living creature.
Yeah.
And then you can see it expand. You know, the colours come and it's really nice.
Well,
yeah,
how would you attune to it? Is it just a matter
practice.
Of taking stock and looking and focusing mm. and...
Oh yeah, it doesn't mean that I'm any better than anyone
mm.
else. I just choose to work with it, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe start with the plant, a living
mm.
plant.
Yeah.
You know, and look at it and just you'll see a white light around it. And then you can even put your hand up to a sort of a blank, you know, blank wall, a plain wall, I should say.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see white around you, and then you'll be able to see colour coming if you really look. You
wow.
know, it takes practice, as with anything, it
yeah.
takes practice.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you started out, did you find that there was a little bit of resistance, you know,
oh,
from
yeah.
people in your family or people
oh,
around
God,
you?
Jesus. Like yeah. my background's marketing and
yeah.
and I've worked in the medical world for years. So, you know, by the time I was married at this point and I had 2 children and then my father died, but then I also lost a baby. So that was
mm.
a huge loss. That was absolutely heartbreaking. And from that, I really started my quest, you know.
Yeah.
And at the time, people, my husband, bless him, a lovely man, he really really is a lovely man. And my family thought, actually, she's just gone through one of her mad vagaries. Yeah. She should be all right. But I wasn't. I started opening up to Reiki healing. I went for hands-on healing just to try and heal the grief.
Yeah.
I had talk therapy, all of those things. But for me, it was when I started seeing again. Mm-hmm. Like, I started seeing the colours around people, the trees, the plants. I started feeling again. I started hearing. I'm clairaudient, so I can see as well, obviously, you know, see colours and energies. Yeah. But when I get information from spirit, it's in my right ear.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm fascinating. And how does it come in? Like, from just listening to and reading on things with people who have that same gift, they would say that you can't say, okay, Friday at 5, we'll tune in. You know, it comes in at the strangest of times. So for yourself, when does it come in? Or is it a collective of voices? Is it one voice? How do you hear it in your ear?
Well, I have learned from years of doing this now that I can actually not shut it off, but I can control it.
Okay.
Whereas when I started opening up again, it was like a runaway train.
Wow.
You know, now it was overwhelming because I didn't know how to control it. So it was like my guides, my angels, my, you know, the ancestors trying to talk to me. And it was like, oh my God, you can see us and hear us, you know, and it was, you know, so I literally had to learn how to shut it off so I can sleep. Because sleep was torture, because I wasn't getting any sleep, you know, because there was all these information coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like it's a knowing. It's clairsentient as well. So I sense it. But it's also this, I do hear it. I hear it so clearly. And I'm always given clues or very clear signs to give to people that this is for them. And they understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I say I'm like the puppet, and which I am. And the puppeteers work their magic through me, and I'm on, you know, I'm very grounded. You know me, Lydia. You've met me. Well, I don't think we've actually physically met.
No, you never know. We could have somewhere down the line, Gráinne. I feel very relaxed in your company, so we could have.
Well, you know, like, you know, I'm very grounded. Yeah. I've had a very interesting life, but this is a gift. I know I have to work with till the day I take my last breath. This is what I'm signed up to do. And I feel when you do it with love and you do it with integrity, which I believe I do, that's where I'm real, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of people in any profession who maybe take advantage of things.
Yeah.
But that's not really what I focus on. I focus on helping people to be the best version of who they are. And that's what I hope I do.
Absolutely. And, you know, is there ever, I know there's that you'll get in an individual message for the person that you're working with, but is there ever kind of something from your guides, like a general understanding or a general message that they would like to give to us in this human form?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. It was last February 2020. I have amazing dreams. Like, I go off to other dimensions. They're amazing. They're incredible dreams. So I remember I woke up. It was February it was about the 20th of February, and I woke up bolt upright, and I had this horrible sense of dread. It was the most awful, and I said, oh, something terrible is going to happen, you know. And it was obviously the pandemic or what's about to occur, and and just I knew there was something seriously wrong. I just felt the energy, and sure enough, I remember thinking, I wonder what that's about. And I just sort of sat with it and said, okay, show me. And I could kind of, I wasn't sure what it was, but it was definitely global. I knew that.
Yeah.
But I knew from 2020 that we're in for a, you know, experience, because numerology wise, 2020 is all around the heart chakra, because the 20 and 20 adds to a 4.
Yeah.
And that's the heart. And it's all around, you know, coming home to self. Mm-hmm. And the hearth of the home, literally, you know, and we'd all been locked down from, you know, per se. But I feel this has been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the world. It's a new beginning, which is what we're leading up to now.
Yes.
But yeah, that would have been one of those moments. And of course, you know, I'd hear things and see things, and I would never do it now without being in a session. I would never infiltrate anyone's, you know, energy field or auras in order to, you know, ask questions or anything like that. Yeah. I'd never do that, because that's totally infiltrating, you know.
Yeah.
It's only when I'm working with someone.
So when you say this kind of new period that we're moving into, because there is, you know, this kind of narrative that's out there at the moment, regardless of where your stance is with regard with everything that has happened over the last year, but a lot of those within will say the spiritual realm have kind of welcomed this, that it's almost like awakened a lot of people, you know, and people starting to ask more questions, and whatever the questions might be, why they're here, you know, turning to more of a spiritual path. But there is this sort of undercurrent of this new awakening that's coming forward. How would you describe what's coming, or, you know, because again, a lot of people will listen and say, I don't really understand what that means, that there's a kind of a new awakening coming. How would you put your words on it?
Sure. Well, 2020, I know you've probably heard this one before, 2020 vision. So it's very much about the balance piece, and the two being the collective and also about, you know, choices and decisions.
Yeah.
So as we head into 2021, which we're now currently in May, 2021 adds to a five. And the five energy is all about change, 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 change. And that's perfect for today, isn't it?
Yeah.
5, 5, 5. Well, we're recording it on the 5th of the 5th.
Yeah.
And it's very much about transformation. So for me, I believe, again, I would go back to what I had said earlier about being, I work with cycles as a numerologist. So I look for patterns in people's charts. And I also love history. So I look for historical patterns. We're actually going through what went on in the Dark Ages. We've just left the Dark Ages. We're about to leave it. And if you recall, in the Dark Ages, around 1300s or thereabouts, it led on to the Renaissance. And that was the, you know, rebirth. And that's exactly what we're going through. Equally, it went through, there was such a place as Atlantis. Atlantis did exist, and it was a place that was run by free energy, all of those things, which I believe will happen this year here. You've heard it here on this podcast. I believe that we will have free energy. You know, Tesla, you know, Nikola Tesla would have worked with this, but it was actually not allowed to be utilized.
Yeah.
So I believe that's what's going to happen.
Wow. And how will that affect us, as in our human form? Like, how will we be affected by that?
Be great. We'll have free electricity and
really
free
it will
Wi-Fi.
It will be that.
Yeah.
That simple.
Oh, yeah. And then we can operate all cars, and we can operate all everything on free energy.
Wow.
It's definitely possible. I really believe it will happen this year. I really do.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, and this, for even for myself, just like looking back on the last year, is like there's been a truth in it. Mm. Even with people in your life, it's like as if everyone's truth has just been laid bare.
Yeah.
And everyone's fears and anxieties, and you know, where I almost feel like where you stand with people is put on a plate on top of their head.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so you can see exactly where you stand with people. You can see exactly who has what I would say the same heart as you.
Yes.
You know, people who are asking the same questions as you, and although there is, from my own experience, there's been a few moments where, you know, I've been let down by people, there's also been this, it's almost like your tribe will appear, you know, of people who have the same heart as you almost,
that's,
you know, which is...
That's exactly it. And it is about the collective. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's also about this freedom piece is so important, because if you look at the numbers 555, I said this morning on another show I was on, 555 in numerology is the words N-E-W.
Wow.
It's quite extraordinary. You can look it up. And I just find that we are now embracing, again, we're coming into the Renaissance period where we're literally going to, it's the rebirth. So for those, like you say, your children, you know, they're going to talk about this time. That was when the whole world changed and people started to talk to each other, and people start, and this is not just, you know, airy fairy. This is real. Like when we get out of all this, I cannot wait. I can't wait to go to a bar and be talking to people and chatting away again as normal. Whereas before, we'd all got very insular, like you know, and again, phones and, you know, not talking with other people.
Yeah, separated, disconnected.
Now we're coming connected again, and we had to start with ourselves. We had to strip back, like what you've gone through there, Lydia, talking about different things and people and so forth. But ultimately, this is always about you. I think we should have t-shirts. It's all about me.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that, because when you know thyself again, here we go, good old Shakespeare, you will be able then to be, you know, able to move forward and be able to embrace this time and go, bring it on, because it is absolutely fundamental life change.
Yeah, amazing. You said I'm having kids there. Am I having kids?
If you want them.
It's funny, I done a cacao ceremony a week ago with a breathing workshop, and in the meditation a vision was presented to me of me with three kids.
Lovely.
So I was like, you know, it was just such a, I was telling my brother at the weekend, but And it was a wild little moment where I was like, this is insane. But fingers crossed it happens or see what's there. But what I was going to say to you about the, you know, everyone being capable of having a certain degree of intuition, or, you know, that maybe as society now, we are so disconnected from ourselves, we're not fully capitalizing on, we'll say, the gifts that we have. And so I wanted to ask you about that, because like I said, with myself, and again, I can only go off my own experiences, but in the last couple of years, I've had, when I'm doing Reiki or I'm in a deep state of meditation myself at home, I will have a voice come in, which I don't recognize as my own, and I don't recognize as my subconscious. It's a very calming voice, and it always sort of gives me an answer to a question that I know is right, but maybe I don't want to hear, you know, like if I'm, whatever it might be, it'll just tell me the right thing. It's always guiding me to the right answer. And I'm on this sort of journey myself of wondering, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken to have said it's your soul. A lot of people have said it's your guide. You know, it's different things, and establishing whether in fact that is who I'm speaking to, or am I absolutely nuts? And, you know, but a week ago, I woke up. I was just about, I was in bed. I was about to go to sleep, but I woke up like somebody was screaming in my ear saying, go home. You need to go home. And I text the girl, my friends in my WhatsApp group, and I was like, God, lads, I'm after getting this really weird, you need to go home. And I said, it's after scaring me, because it actually sounded like I woke up with fear, thinking that someone was right next to my head. And they were like, oh, you know, a friend of mine's dad had passed the week previously. So they were like, you're probably just thinking about the grief and I've been at the funeral and different things. And then Friday, my granddad died. So I believe that it was some kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, there was some sort of like something inside me that was saying, you need to go home. It's a time to go home to be with your parents or around that. And when I got home on Friday, the night, he died early Saturday morning, but I had this just like, I need to go see him. But it was late when I got home, so my dad was like, look, we'll go in the morning and we'll see him and that'll be it. but it was like a draw. As soon as I got back down to Waterford, I was like, go see him, go see him. And obviously I did, and I said I'd go see him in the morning, but he died during the night. And I don't feel like, you know, I have a magic power, but I feel like it's your gut, it's your intuition.
Yeah.
And I suppose my question is, how do we... how do we, what's the word I'm looking for? How do we tap into that? And how do we listen more to what's within us?
It's brilliant. It's really a good question. And I suppose just to answer what you asked there, per se, for yourself, we say, like, your soul has a contract. Before you came in, right, you as Lydia and me as Grania, we had contracts. Number one, we said about the parents and where we are in the lineup and all this. And so therefore, what happens is, we remember the contract. So we come through, we go into the experience, and then we forget our contracts, I should say. And then as things happen, we suddenly have a remembrance. Okay, this is very significant. This person I'm about to meet could be my husband or wife. And you kind of go, there's a knowing. It's almost like, again, this could be all without even recognizing it, but there's somewhere within your context of who you are. So that's, we have a soul contract, and that's what I help people with, to disguise, understand who they are and what their soul contract is. That's what we do. I do. So therefore, for you with your granddad, he would have been a part of your soul contract. Obviously, he's your grandfather. And on some level, on some many, many levels, you knew his passing was coming, because you would have known. So therefore, you would have been reminded.
Wow.
Now, I very much believe it is your soul. Your soul is the real you. But also, we do have spirit guides, and we do have angels that work with us. So therefore, we have to ask. And that's something that is very simple. It's like, if you want, if you're lost, you ask for directions. So if you have, if one has a spiritual practice, be it walking in the forest or walking by the sea or just walking to the park every day as your practice. It doesn't have to be religious. Because as we can see, all of the old paradigms are collapsing. The church, the state, the political systems, the medical, everything's collapsing right now, which is brilliant, because it's the dark ages. We're making our way into the new. So here we are. And so on many levels, you know, I suppose intuition is tuition from within. So when you have that intuition,
that's really good. Intuition is tuition from within. Well,
so when you quieten our minds, when we shut off the phones, the televisions, the distractions, and we just even breathe, we don't have to go into the lotus position and chant, right? Like Charlie did.
Stand on your head.
No, we don't. We can walk in nature. You know, sometimes maybe taking the earphones off instead of listening to music, which I adore, by the way. But just literally silencing. Just silent. It means you're going to have, we have 80,000 thoughts a day. Like it's very difficult, but we can go into the feeling. So when you feel joy or you feel peace, therefore you start to then be able to connect in. And all you have to do is ask and say, I'd like a really obvious sign, please.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Is that easy?
Yes. We make it difficult.
Why do we make it difficult? What is it about us?
I'd say
humans?
Fear.
Okay.
I'd say
so
fear.
Would you be of the belief that we come from a land, or maybe not even a land, I come from a realm that manifestation is as real as anything, and we can manifest absolutely anything that we want. But when we get into our human form, we forget that.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a near-death experience personally.
Wow.
It was after my fourth child, and I was in a dark place. And I remember just saying, because I believe, again, this is just my belief, I believe we have three times that we can leave, part of our contract. Three times. So this was obviously my second time. It was the first time I could have drowned. That was another story in Greece. And then the second time was you know, after having my fourth child.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, I was like, my heart stopped, and I did go to the other side, and I did experience that sense of going through the tunnel. And actually, I remember seeing a council of elders. They were just a whole, like, it was like an arch-shaped table with men and women. And there was the men with the long white beards, you know, like the, you know, Merlin and Dumbledore. But there was normal people as well.
Yeah.
And they just said to me, oh, no, no, Grania, it's not your time. You've got too much to do. You have to go back.
Wow.
And I remember this feeling of, oh God, I don't want to go back, because honestly there was such a sense of peace, there was such a sense of joy, and it was it was instant. And then my guides and my beautiful angels, they brought me back, and I was like, whoosh, I was back.
Wow.
And I was fine.
So would that be your perception of where we go when we leave our physical form?
Oh yeah, well, I believe we can go to wherever we want to go. For example, my mother and father are both in spirit.
Yeah.
And my mother would sometimes show me, she's in a beautiful sort of garden, and it's all exotic plants, because she loved planting and gardening in this life. And my father loved the pub.
Yeah.
He was in,
like,
a
many
pub.
Of our dads.
But he was in a pub.
Yeah.
And you can be wherever you want, because they're not human, they're souls. So they just had this experience. And it is a very complicated thing, but I do believe there are different dimensions as well, of course. Yeah. There is no punishment or judgment. I genuinely believe that we only judge ourselves, and we can do that for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So in terms of where the other context of the planets and world heavens, I do believe there are different heavens, and I do believe there are different experiences that we all have. I don't really like the word levels.
Yeah.
But I like dimensions.
Yeah.
And I believe it's instant manifestation.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fab. It's deadly.
God.
Deadly.
It gets deadly.
That's so bad.
It's super great. We're closing in on the end of the hour, but
that went fast.
It does go fast, doesn't it? And you could you could be here for 6 hours. There's so much I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But can we talk about your soul? Your guides and your angels, and how are we assigned them, and how do we speak to them? I believe that I do have them. I don't know who they are, but I know that there's something there. I feel people. I feel energies around my head all the time, and I don't know anything about them. I don't. Obviously, I've spoke to yourself about it and different things. But how do we know them? How do we speak to them? And is there should we be concerned with calling in a guide or an angel? And is there a worry that maybe a negative entity can attach to that? Like, I'm going to come in, here's my opportunity. And, you know, is that fictional? Where do we stand with everything?
No, that's great. we have, in my belief, we have one guardian angel that is assigned to us through all our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So our guardian angel knows us better than ourselves, because we're only remembering snippets of what we've been and who we are.
Yeah.
So therefore, there are other angels and guides that come in as you call them. Mm-hmm. So there is, it's calling in, and you don't have to do anything special or, you know, fast for 100 days. You just have to say, you know, beloved angels and guides. There are different mantras you can use, you know. Mm-hmm. You ask for, always ask that the, for the angels and guides, for the highest good and highest healing to come to you. Right.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, within context, you know, I suppose it's a challenging one to answer, because, you know, ultimately, when you're in a safe space, quiet place, and you're from a place of love, you will only attract love. It's a law. So spirit guides are fascinating as well, because spirit guides can come as well to support you at a period of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, for example, you know, I'm currently working with, you know, some guides that are, you know, writers, for example. Mm-hmm. They were writers in this experience. Yeah. As Earth, they're not in Earth anymore, but they're helping me with, you know, communication all the time. Mm-hmm. I would have called them all in before I came here.
Yeah.
So that's why I can talk for 7 hours if you wanted me to.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's so fascinating. Before you came in here, you called them in for guidance.
Oh, I wouldn't go to the bathroom asking for guidance.
Really?
No, and I mean that, not being smart. Like, I call guidance for everything, because I feel I'm just having this experience on Earth. And I have all these amazing guides. We all have, by the way, these amazing guides and angels that you can call in to support you, to make it better and to help you with everything. You know, even before I would, like, you know, for example, drive, I'd ask the angels to provide me and protect me as I drive for my children who are traveling, and whoever, my animals. And that's what we are here to do. We're here to experience this life, but we don't have to do it alone. That's why, because we're never, ever alone, ever. And so for those out there who may be listening, who might be struggling at the moment, or, you know, going through heartache or heartbreak, it's to know that you can just ask. There's no formal way to do it. Just say, angels, show yourself to me. Go before me and prepare my way. That's what I say.
Go before me and prepare my way
today.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, they're so amazing. When you know that when there's angels and guides around you, you know, when I'm doing a session for a client, I mean, I completely tune in. I ask my team of angels and guides to talk to the person. I would have done this with you, Lydia.
Yeah.
And even this gentleman here, you know, that, you know, that I ask all of our teams to talk to each other so that it flows. And that's why if you're going for interviews, or if you're going, you know, a marriage proposal, you know, ask the guides and each other to talk, and it makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's comforting, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh.
It's comforting knowing that you have that idea that you can speak and be listened to.
Yes, and you know, it's to remember that we have chosen to be here.
Mm.
So why not make it as easy as possible? I'm not talking airy fairy that people don't go through heartache and hell. Of course they do. I've seen it, and I've experienced stuff myself. But it is part of our soul's contract. Mm. So whilst we might be going through difficult times, ask.
Yeah,
you know, show me. You know, show me the way. I mean, one of the greatest things, if I can share a story.
Of course.
I was looking for a very, very obvious sign. This is a few years ago, and I said, "Okay, guys." I at the time I was living in Wexford, and I lived near Ballymoney at the time, and I just said, "Right, lads." I called them the lads. I said, "Right, lads. I want to see a peacock, a full blown peacock in the whole feathers, if this is correct for me." So that was it. And I said, thank you. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
So I decided to go for a walk with my beloved dog, and I headed down to the beach, and I was driving down, and I could see something in the road. And I said, geez, that's an awful big pheasant. You know, now this is going to Ballymoney Beach, mind you.
Yeah.
And there in the middle of the road in its full glory was a peacock.
Wow.
And you might say that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I believe it's two situations coinciding. So as a result, I have peacocks all over my house. People buy me peacocks. It's my symbol.
Yes.
If I need, not that I can hear them, but still sometimes I'm human. Mm. I sometimes get caught up in drama.
Yeah.
So then a peacock will literally make its appearance.
Wow.
So there you go.
Have you ever, that's amazing. Have you ever felt in all of this, have you ever doubted yourself?
No.
Or doubted your ability to do this and said, what if I'm bleeding just mental?
No.
You know, have you ever questioned it?
No.
Because you know, you can feel it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know it's my purpose. So my purpose is to help you know, my purpose is to help thousands, and I have, and mm-hmm. I have more thousands to help, yeah. to find out what their purpose is. And that's mm-hmm. what I do. I help people, and it gives me such pleasure. Mm. You know, and I'm very lucky. I do a lot of media work, and I've, yeah. you know, I've been doing that for years. But it's not even that. It's more just getting the word out there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm born, well, my mom born before this, but the generation that I can, you know, use all the different social media platforms.
Yeah.
I mean, I talk to people all over the world, helping them. So mm-hmm. I can do that. I can be sitting in my sitting room, you know, with mm-hmm. my dog. Yeah. So it's brilliant. And I just love the fact that the world is opening more to yeah. it. And like your generation, Lydia, and you know, my own children's generation are so open, like the big thing around crystals and around yeah. awareness and mindfulness and, you know, yoga and Tai Chi and all those things. Mm-hmm. And people of all different ages are opening up to this. And mm-hmm. this is why it's a joy to watch how the world is changing.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, and I definitely feel that as well, that people are a lot more open, but there's still you know, people out there that who they would be skeptical, or they would just not be able to sit and listen to what we're mm. saying and not even agree with it, just hear it.
Oh yeah.
You know? What is your understanding of those people who can't even sit and listen to, you know, the idea that there is more than just their physical form?
Well, you know, of course I've met them. Not that many. I'm so protected now, mm-hmm. and I mean that. I shield myself a lot energetically, so yeah. I don't even encounter that anymore, yeah. you know. So, you know, people are where they're at, and, mm-hmm. you know, remembering that part of their contract might be to be that advocate, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Someone who's the devil's advocate, I suppose, is the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't mean it in that context. I just mean in terms of the term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't judge them for that, because, you know, wherever they're, I always say people react from wherever they're at, you
yes.
know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I'm better. I just hold space.
Yeah.
And I understand that they may be coming from a painful place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it takes a situation to occur in our lives, like it did for me, you yeah. know, to lose a baby and my father today, that I was able to wake up and to say, oh my God, there has to be more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's it. So we're all on this individual journey, and it's to find your way. That's the yeah. thing.
What would you say are the key first steps into finding your purpose?
Mm.
A session with yourself, obviously.
Well, of course.
Key first step.
Yes. Well, that would help.
Yeah.
Because obviously it would start you off. But I feel it's to have an open mind mm-hmm. and an open heart. You yeah. know, we are in a hard time, yeah. you know, and the more we open our heart to love, you know, and the more we accept and receive love, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
The more, therefore, that you can see things from a different point of yeah. view. And I feel the first thing is to really recognize that you're not just your body, you yeah. know, you are a lot more than that. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's why I love this time, like, you know, I know the law of attraction, the secret and all that was back about 15 years ago or yeah. thereabouts. Like, that brought people to really start questioning.
Mm.
But I feel this whole pandemic, per se, is now getting people to look at things differently.
Yeah.
And also, you know, in terms of what's going on right now, the five that we've spoken about is to do with your throat, the throat mm. chakra. So it's about free speech. You know, I know there's censorship at the moment, but it is about people yeah. speaking up and being heard.
Mm.
So speak up, be heard. Try out some spiritual, you know, not necessarily religious, spiritual techniques. And mm-hmm. if I can help anybody, you know, that's what I do best.
Absolutely. It's funny, the last couple of Reiki sessions that I've done, they've said that my throat chakra mm. has been blocked.
Mm.
And I found it so funny, because I was like, impossible. I talk for a living all the time. And they were like, well, you have to, you know, wonder what you're talking about.
Yeah. And,
what aren't
truth.
You saying? Yeah, yeah. You know, speaking your truth. And
yes.
Yes. And being afraid to do so.
Yeah, and that's what's really, that's why I'm fascinated by watching what's going on the world stage, you know,
absolutely.
Censorship. But in fact, it's actually about speaking up and being yeah. heard and speaking mm-hmm. your truth. But that's the thing, it's not forcing. I don't believe in forcing any of yeah. my beliefs. I choose to say what I believe. It's my choice. And yeah. whatever people say is their business.
But the censorship is you know, I know that censorship is real and that it has existed mm. before coronavirus hit, or the pandemic.
Yeah.
But to see it in full effect, and how, you know, people are literally just being deleted off the internet
mm-hmm.
and their voices are being muted.
Mm.
And these aren't people who are, there's no hate speech. There's no, you know, obviously someone would be like, Donald Trump was rightly deleted off the internet. And yes, but, you know, when you look at like free speech and the right to be able to use whatever medium that is to speak your truth, and where we're at now, where people are just shutting that down because it doesn't fit an agenda or it doesn't fit a narrative, is terrifying.
Mm. And again, you know, I use that expression quite often. Nothing is as it seems. So
what do you mean by that?
So while someone might present themselves as being a certain personality, shall we say?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually mean that they're that. It means that they may be portraying something in order to create something new. And I know I'm talking in riddles here, but but ultimately, the free speech, the whole thing, I mean, this is really, this is a battle between light and dark at the moment.
Yes.
And I really believe that. Mm. And I do believe the light will prevail. And I think it was Leonard Cohen who said that it's through the through the cracks that the light can get in. Mm. And, you know, sometimes in through the darkness times, we have to have dark times, like the dark the dark ages, as it was called back in the 13th century, to lead into a renaissance, to lead into a new beginning, and then the Reformation and all the things. Mm-hmm. So really, this period now, 2021, right through to certainly 2030, will be fascinating to observe.
Wow.
Yeah. And that coincides with astrology as well. I'm not an astrologer, but I have an interest.
Yeah.
And the, all the characters that you mentioned there, like, you know, people like Donald and different, you know, not just necessarily political, but people who wish to speak up. Mm. You see, we should, it's civil rights. That's what this year is about.
Yeah.
2021. It's about the right to civilly speak and be heard. And, you know, it's great to see people standing up and being in arms and saying, no more.
Yeah.
In whatever, not just necessarily with this, but whatever's going on in their experience.
So you think 2030, that's when we'll come out of it?
I believe it'll never be the same again.
Wow. We'll, we'll never have that normal that we know will ever be, never be back.
But I think it'll be much better. Okay. It'll kind of go back, I feel, not even go back, it'll go to a place where people, I mean, I know, I don't know about you, Lydia, but I have really missed people, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I really have. Yeah. And the fact that to be able to touch people or be connected to people or to really to enjoy the simple things. I think when you boil it down, it's simple things that we miss and are now embracing again, which is great.
Yeah.
And so that's what I feel. I really don't believe it can ever be the same because it wasn't working.
Mm.
There was too much of an imbalance. There was too much of a divide. And so now if people start taking accountability, which they are, which we all are, and embracing this new time and moving forward with it. And I do believe, you know, it does irk me to see people not being allowed, and certainly some people I'd follow being wiped out, you know, literally online. But there are, people are developing new ways of doing it. So there's never a wrong. It's just what it is.
Amazing. Well, what a note to leave our podcast on. Gráinne, thank you so much. It's so fascinating. I could have you here for 7 hours.
I'll come back again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it is super fascinating. And, you know, our session that we had, you were saying of like, that actually really resonates, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm never skeptical, but I'm always intrigued to, you know, I wonder what they'll come back with, you know, or will anything sit with me? And yeah, it was really fascinating just off my name and my date of birth.
Yes, it is.
And just to have that, you know, that knowing that you're here for a reason, that you chose it, and that, you know, there is someone who can help assist you in finding out what your place is and what your purpose is.
Absolutely. Never alone. And when you get to really like and love yourself, you'll certainly never feel alone.
Yeah.
You know, you'll just embrace it.
Mm, so that's absolutely what we do. Very last question. What do your kids think about all this?
Oh, sure, they've grown up with it.
Yeah.
Fascinating, I think. Two of them are traveling around the world, but they're very open, and they would have grown up seeing people coming and going out of my home and seeing me on TV and kissing the television and saying, there's mommy. Yeah. You know, so, yeah.
Would you be like, don't start college this year. I'm predicting the year after. That's your success year.
Well, I tell you now, the three of them ring me up about boyfriends all the time.
I'd say so.
And they get dates of birth and their names and everything. Sure, I know everything about them. The poor lads, they haven't a hope.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm like that with astrology. You know, my friends, because I'm so big on astrology, and all my friends will say, Lydia, his birthday is June 21st. And I'm like, ooh, a Gemini. Ooh, I don't know. I'm not compatible with you. You want to watch that? Or, you know,
yeah.
Oh, it's Sagittarius. You are going to get on like a house on fire.
Yeah, no, I do the exact same.
That's weird. Yours is obviously a little bit more scientific than mine. Than my astrology. Intuition. But thank you so much for coming
in.
I really enjoyed that. Where can everyone find out more? I know you've got your own podcast as well, isn't that right?
I do, yeah. My podcast is on Anchor FM. Yeah. And it's under my name, Gráinne Tindall.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do a daily message for people.
Yeah.
If they're interested in that, they can contact me through numbers4success.com.
Brilliant. And you have a children's book as well, is that right?
Oh, I wrote a children's book and
I
cards.
Saw that on your website. Yeah.
Years
amazing.
Ago. Yeah, so they're little angel cards. I still sell them and books. Yeah, yeah. They're really nice for children to get them on the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you think that it's very important that we start getting our children more involved in being connected to themselves and the...
Well, I always believe, as I know, having raised three children, that they actually learn through you. So when we find our own accountability and live our purpose, our children will automatically do that.
Yeah.
Like, because each of my children, for example, have chosen me and their father as their parents, as I love to tell them. And so therefore, you know, they have their own soul's journey.
Yeah.
But ultimately, as myself and Thomas, what we do is we love them and we're, you know, we love parenting them, other adults. But, you know, we're there for them to love them and support them.
Amazing. Well, Gráinne, thank you so much for coming in. Gráinne Tindall for the First Exchange podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.